Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastors Rock and Sharon Edmonds as they minister the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here are Pastors Rock and Sharon.
Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to ask you, Will, if you'll get your Bibles and go to John chapter 13 and verse number 34 and 35. This is in the King James. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also will love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, I had listened to YouTube. We always are listening to different ministers on YouTube and different things that are uplifting and stuff. And one of the things we listen to sometimes is people that have near-death experiences. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of any of them, but some of them are right on. They line up with the Word, and they didn't even know the Word. But there was this one man that I was listening to and said that he, you know, went through something traumatic and his spirit came out of his body, and the next thing he knows, he's in heaven. And he's standing there and there's other people there, and he's like in a line. There's a few people there in front of him in this line. And the question that is being asked is, did you learn to love? And some of the people in front of him were saying, yes, I did. I did learn to love. And some were saying, no, I didn't. I really couldn't get along with people when I was alive. And then some were saying that they learned some, but they didn't learn, you know, the full lesson that they should have. And he was asked that question, did you learn to love? And I believe that that's the question that the Lord is asking all of us today. Did you learn to love? Are you learning to love? We're all being changed. Colossians 3 and 14 in their Passion says, the most important part of your new life is to love each other. Love is what holds everything together in perfect unity. Now, I personally want my love walk to go to the next level. But you know, that's so easy to say, but it's really hard to do. Because, you know, until you get in the presence of somebody that's disagreeable, that likes to argue, that likes to, you know, try to bait you for strife, y'all know what I'm talking about. It'll take a lot of work on our part. Okay, Philippians 2 and 1. So I'm asking, this is a portion. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unabounded joy. Now here's where I want to dig deep. Philippians 2 and 3 and 4, and you've got this in front of you. Be free from pride-filled opinions. I feel like the Holy Spirit just keeps taking us to this same school. And the reason he's taking us to this same school, I believe one of the reasons, is because we're always talking about we want to see signs and wonders and miracles. And we're always seem to be praying, churches everywhere are praying, I want to see more signs. I want to see more wonders. Why don't we see more signs? Why don't we see more wonders? And I truly believe the revelation of God is because we let our unity get divided by our opinions and by arguing and by our strife. And we get out of that unity where that's where the power of God is at. It's in that unity and that love. Because we can come in agreement with each other and we can respect each other if we just will. You know, just because somebody's got a different opinion about something than we do, it doesn't mean we have to ostracize them and treat them like they're just nothing and their opinion doesn't matter. We don't have to do that. We can show respect. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is show respect. And I believe when we do this, we're going to see more signs. We're going to see more wonders. We're going to see more miracles. I truly believe we're keeping ourselves out of that realm a lot of times by staying in this lower realm of just fussing and arguing and strife. And okay, be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. Now, how many friendships have been destroyed because the friends allowed their pride-filled opinions to harm their cherished unity? And now they don't speak at all. They might have been lifelong friends, but they don't speak because they had different opinions. They didn't respect their differences, and we've got to respect our differences, but it dissolved and destroyed that friendship because they didn't respect it. How many marriages end in divorce because the spouses allowed their pride-filled opinions to harm their cherished unity instead of respecting? There again. How many churches, their doors have been closed because they allowed their pride-filled opinions to harm their cherished unity? Some churches are shut down today because a division was caused by a difference of opinion over stupid, petty things. The color of carpet has caused many divisions in many churches because somebody believed it should have been this way and not that way. Is that really important? Is that something that we want to stand before the Lord and we're standing before Him and said, okay, you divided a church. You caused a split in this church because you didn't agree with the color of the carpet. That was so important to you. You were such a selfish, self-centered person that you didn't consider. You're hurting the little children that are going to come in and be saved. You're hurting people that have never heard the gospel because those doors will be shut because you are being... Some churches, they're shut down today because they exalted their pride-filled opinions until it divided the body. I heard of a situation, I know of a situation, where a minister was preaching and a member of the congregation didn't agree with what he was saying. So this person that's not in agreement marched his little self down to the front of the church and tried to start an argument with the minister while he's ministering, while he's preaching. This person marched their self down and is arguing with him in the middle of this service. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that's not of God. There's no part of God in that. God didn't tell that man to do that, to disrupt that service. There's not a chance that was God. But he was convinced it was God. It was totally out of God's order. But he just knew he was right. He couldn't possibly be wrong. That's the very definition of pride. Pride-filled opinions. You know you can't be wrong. It's got to be somebody else. We know that sometimes, don't we? It's got to be John over here. It can't be me because I'm always right. Really? I know this isn't a shout-me-down sermon, but it sure is good for us. It'll sure grow us up because we're in the school of the Holy Spirit. So that man was totally wrong. He was totally out of order. Like we said, if somebody came in here and did something like that, I mean, instantly know that that's out of order. Instantly stop it. I mean, if you're near somebody that's doing something like that, stop it. The root of this, it caused confusion and division in that body. And the root of it was somebody with a pride-filled opinion. A humble person would have asked a question about it privately later on. But someone with pride can't do it that way. They don't care who gets hurt, even if it splits the church. They're so selfish and self-centered. They just want to look like that they're super spiritual and that they're right. But they're wrong. Because love would humble itself. Love doesn't have to be right, even if it's right. You could be in a marriage situation and maybe you and your spouse are in a disagreement of something that don't amount to a hill of beans. It's something that's just not very important. But you have a strong-held belief in this one thing. It should be done this way, and the other, your spouse has got the strong-held belief that it should be done the other way. But you know you're right, and they know they're right. But you know one of you needs to surrender being right. One of you needs to humble yourself and say, you know, being right is not the important thing, not having a divorce in this situation, that's the important thing. And being right with God, that's the important thing, because if I humble myself, the Lord has an ability to straighten this thing out. It may take some time, but He'll straighten it out. Amen. We think we can give everybody else the revelation we got, and we can't give them nothing. Honestly, they have to get the revelation from God for themselves. Love doesn't have to be right. I'm going to say it again, even if it is right. Hate causes division. Love causes unity. People with pride-filled opinions don't respect other people's right to have a different opinion. Love and respect go hand in hand. And if we're going to walk in the God kind of love, which we talked about last week, how if we don't walk in the God kind of love, it opens the door for things. It gives the devil a foothold. One of the scriptures we read last week, and I just touched it, was about if you get angry and you stay angry all night, it gives the devil a foothold. You know, we've always heard, well, you shouldn't go to bed angry, but that's actually scripturally based because it's going to give the devil a right to step in there in your dreams, in your sleep. He's going to step in there in your life. He's going to, you know what? Before you ever get in an argument with somebody, you ought to take your wallet out. And you say, why should I take my wallet out? Because it's going to affect your finances. And you need to see if you can afford this argument. If you and your spouse are really going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, take your checkbook out. And say, I wonder how much is in this checkbook because it's fixing to affect anything I've got in this checkbook because of this argument. It's going to let the devil in. It's going to give him a loophole and he's going to be able to bust us and he has a legal right to do it because we're on his ground. Thank you. This is good preaching. It's much better preaching, by the way, than y'all are amening. I love the Presbyterians, but they're really quiet in church. And I didn't know that I had a whole house full of Presbyterians today. This is a... I'm not knocking Presbyterians. I don't mean that. Matter of fact, one of my favorite ministers ever was a Presbyterian minister. I used to watch him all the time. He was wonderful. So if we're going to walk in the God kind of love, we've got to pay attention to our attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe he was definitely talking about you. Then look at your neighbor again, and then we got to pay attention to how we act. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all pointing fingers. Look at this. Yeah. And how we talk to people. This is so good. How we treat people. Moving right along. Colossians 3 and 14 in the Passion. This is a portion. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. A lot of times we think we're mature Christians, and really, we're not. Unless we really walk in love to the highest degree of this. And I'll be honest with you, none of us walk in the love to the highest degree in this all the time. We all fall short. I don't know, the more I say I'm going to go to a higher level in this, the more I fall flat on my face. It seems like the very next thing I'll do will be out of love. The very next thing, I'll say something rude. I'll do something rude. I'll talk too loudly or something. I know, that's not y'all. It seems like that's all it ever is the failures of your pastor. And y'all seem to really enjoy it. I know that. It really seems like, yeah, it's you pathetic. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 in the easy to read. It says, whatever you do, don't let selfishness, and that's what it is, or pride, be your guide. Because we get so proud that we're right. Be humble and honor others more than yourselves. Don't be interested only in your own life, but care about the lives of others too. Philippians 2 and 4 in the Passion. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. Okay, now this phrase came to me that I was supposed to speak this phrase a couple of times. Don't allow your life to be all about you. That's so good. Don't allow your life to be all about you. Who are you living for? What are you living for? Now, okay, I've got a test that we're going to take in a minute. I know y'all like tests. It's an open book test. But I need to get a scripture in the back of this. I need to get to this. Okay, Romans 12 and 9. And maybe y'all will know what this is. I did not. Many years ago, I looked this up and I was surprised what it was. Romans 12 and 9, this is in the King James. Let love be without dissimulation. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've never used that word a whole lot in my regular everyday speech. You know, ish, do this without dissimulation, please. Would you please do this without dissimulation? You know, I had to look it up. And okay, it means, okay, now I'm going to give you the Rock Edmonds translation for it. One of them is just being fake. another one, in other words, don't let love be fake, let it be real. And Romans 12:9, same scripture in the Passion, says, let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never to play the role of an actor wearing a mask. In other words, it's got to be the real thing. You're not just saying, oh, I'm so glad to see you, and you're thinking, God knows I'm glad I'm not glad I saw them today. I wish I hadn't run into them. But we're telling them the opposite of that, and so we're actually in dissimulation. I know y'all have never done that. Yeah, okay. We'll move right along. Never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Okay, in the plain English Bible, I like this version a lot. Romans 12:9. Don't just pretend, that's this scripture again, don't just pretend to love other people. You have to love them properly. In the Good News Bible, it says love must be completely sincere. In 1 John 3:18, different scripture, it says, my children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action. So if we really love somebody, we're going to do something. We're going to help them in some way. We're going to give a gift to them. We're going to give kind words to them. It's going to show itself. Really, the love of God is going to express itself in some sort of action. Now, I know y'all are excited about taking a test, so we're going to take a test from 1 Corinthians 13, and it's the love test. So I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1, in the Passion. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages, and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am nothing. So knowing how to quote a verse and how to practice a verse, that's two different things. We're practicing 1 Corinthians 13, not just a hearer but a doer. The whole purpose of our life, the number one purpose, is to learn how to love. And verse number 3, if I were just to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate his own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. This really popped out at me. I'm going to have to reference this. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best of others. Love never takes failure as defeat. It never gives up. It never stops loving. Now the love test is, am I generous with the pure motive of love? Am I patient? Am I gentle? Am I kind, consistently kind to all? Am I jealous when somebody else is blessed? Do I brag? Do I inflate my own importance? Am I disrespectful? Do I seek my own honor? Am I easily irritated? Am I quick to take offense? Do I never stop believing the best of others? Do I give up? Do I stop loving? That's Sharon.
Praise the Lord. Awesome preaching, Pastor. Amen. Amen. We all need it, don't we? Yes. You know, the Lord is not here to point any fingers, but He's here to help us grow. And so we want to grow in God, don't we? And along the same lines, I'm going to begin in Philippians 1 and 9, and this is in the New Living Translation. It says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. So it is God's will for us to grow and to overflow in love more and more. It's supposed to be a continual thing. Amen. Letting love flow from us. And, you know, it's a process. It's something that we have to work on continually. You know, we don't ever arrive because, you know, we'll have lots of opportunities to flow in love and not be touchy or not, you know, lash out at other people. But we're going to constantly have to work on love, aren't we? And especially, you know, in this day and time, you know, we're living in an age where there's so much hate and chaos and so much stuff going on in the world today that, you know, we really have to keep ourselves. The church needs to be an example, doesn't it? Amen. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about that old song. It just came to me while we were preparing our message, that the song that says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Now, thank God, so some of y'all know that song. I heard some yes. So I was like, you know, people probably aren't going to remember this song. But, yeah, we need love, don't we? The world needs love. And, you know, God is love. So the world needs God, doesn't it? Amen. And let us let love begin in us, each and every one of us. And, you know, we certainly want to work on walking in love more than ever before. And we definitely want to walk in love toward our brothers and sisters. Amen. Those that we are in fellowship with, fellow believers. And, you know, it's important to keep our hearts in check. It's a continual thing that we need to keep our hearts in check because, you know, it's so easy to allow offense, to allow, you know, wrong thinking to come into our minds and, you know, feelings, wrong feelings. And, you know, they can cause a lot of harm in our life. Pastor was talking about finances. You know, so there's areas in our life that we need to really, you know, realize, you know, if I get into this argument, what is it going to cost me? Or what is so important in my life that I am praying to God and believing Him for that I'm going to allow some silly little thing, something that, you know, a lot of times it's stuff that you're not even involved in. You know, you just jump right in there. You know, you see somebody else that's hurt or upset or whatever, and you just jump right in the middle of it. But it's important, you know, guard your heart. It says all throughout the Word of God, guard your heart. Well, I heard a testimony just recently about he's a preacher, and he's telling about a time in his walk with God. Spiritually, he wasn't growing, and he wasn't, you know, the blessings weren't flowing. And so he thought, well, you know, I'm going to go to a Kenneth Hagin meeting. And, you know, you get into a Kenneth Hagin meeting, and it's just like fire in there, you know. It's just the anointing is so strong in there. And so he's thinking he's going to go into this meeting, you know, and he's just going to get that fire back, you know. I'm going to start flowing spiritually. Everything's going to start flowing in my life. Everything's going to be great. And so he gets into that service, and Kenneth Hagin, he starts preaching on John 13:34 and 1 Corinthians 13, preaching on love. And, you know, he's like, you know, okay, I was wanting to hear something about, you know, angels and healing and power and all these things, but Kenneth Hagin's talking on love. And, you know, it gets real quiet in services, as we well know. When it gets over into that area, you know, walking in love, not allowing offense and anger and these things. But anyway, he's talking about love and forgiveness and everything. And here he was, you know, he's a preacher. And he's sitting in the minister's, the preacher's section. You know, they had a section in that church just for the preachers. And so he's sitting in that seating area just for the ministers. And Brother Hagin said, if some of you haven't been walking in love, and you're going to make the adjustment. You know, sometimes it just takes an adjustment, just a little adjustment. If you're going to make that adjustment tonight, I want you to stand up. And he thought, you know, here I am, a preacher, I'm a pastor, and, you know, he's saying to stand up. Well, here I am in this minister section. You know, how can I stand up? How can I let people know, you know, that I'm not walking in love and that, you know, I have some unforgiveness? And, you know, he said, I don't have to stand up. Have you, you know, we've all been there, haven't we? I don't have to let everybody see, you know. And he's thinking that, and he said, I can just sit right here. He's having this conversation. I can just sit right here where I am, and I can make this adjustment, just me, just sitting right here. I don't have to stand up. You know, he's telling himself, I don't want everybody to wonder, you know, what the situation is or who I've, you know, got a problem with and all these things, you know. And so he said, I'm just going to sit right here. He said, well, Brother Hagin said it again, and this time he said a little stronger. He said, I said, if you need to forgive somebody and you want to walk in love, I'm telling you to stand up. So this minister, he's thinking, oh, you know, I guess I better stand up, you know, because he's saying, but Brother Hagin's standing right in front of him. He said, I don't know why, out of all these thousands of people, hundreds or how many was there, why he was standing in front of me. But anyway, he stands up, and Brother Hagin says, now repeat after me. So everybody that's standing up, he says, I'm going to walk in love, whether anybody else does or not. I'm going to forgive those people. I'm going to forgive what they did to me. I'm going to forgive the wrong that they did to me. I'm going to forgive those that have mistreated me. And he said, this preacher said, the moment that he repeated what Brother Hagin said, he said that the power of God hit him. He said the glory of God, the presence of God hit him right there. And you know, it just took a little adjustment. Now, sometimes we've got to just step out in faith and, you know, and just humble ourselves and say, yeah, I'm wrong. I've had wrong feelings. I've held things against somebody. You know, I've done these things, and you know, we're all guilty. We've all done it. Every one of us. Amen. Watching by Facebook, YouTube, those that are here in the congregation, we are all guilty. We can't point fingers at anybody. Amen. So, you know, we struggle with these things. Everybody does. But he said as soon as he got home, the financial struggles that he had gone through, and he said within within the next 30 days of being in that meeting and humbling himself, he said he was completely out of debt. So it'll cost you something. Ask yourself, you know, how expensive is it going to be for me to walk out of love? How expensive is it going to be for me to hold on to this grudge? Now, as Patrick said, a lot of times we wonder, why am I struggling? You know, but a lot of times we just have to check ourselves. You know, and the Word of God says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, so, you know, we got to be open before God. You know, so many people, they've got that beam, you know, going into everybody else's eye. Or log, and they've got it in their own eye, you know, so we can see other people's faults, but are we checking our own faults? Are we checking where we fall short? You know, that's where God wants us to be. That's where he, you know, we want to be in good graces with the Lord. We don't want to allow the little foxes to spoil the vine. So, you know, guard your heart and allow the blessings to flow. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.